Thursday Night Football last night, a NFC East matchup between the Cowboys and the Giants, two scuffling teams, one with much higher expectations than another one, I would say, certainly, as the Dallas Cowboys, I thought, were one loss away last night from firing their coach. Didn't have to because they ended up winning the game. Not by very much. Certainly didn't cover the number I saw. So that probably hurt for anybody who bet Dallas last night, unless you, like everybody else in the world, had the CeeDee Lamb anytime touchdown, which hit. And I know that that was a big one because everybody on Twitter started going ka-ching when CeeDee Lamb took that one to the house. So what were your takeaways from the game last night, Andy? I think one that we can both certainly agree on is that it highlighted the importance of having a stud wide receiver out there that your quarterback can rely on.
Yeah, this has been one of mine all year long. And I know we still have to talk about the left tackle, and that's a thing. But that other box that needs to be checked off at some point, sometime soon, by Elliott Wolf. And they tried, you know, with your guy Ridley or with Ayuk, who they'll see this week. But you watch these games, and it's just so key to have that guy to go to. That guy can make guys fall down, can run after catch. And I'm not saying the Patriots don't have anybody that can't catch the ball or run after the catch and couldn't have a big play. But just to have that guy, you know, if he hasn't scored in a while, he's going to score soon. Or if he hasn't had a good game in a while, he's got a big day coming. Like, I think Brandon Ayuk is on the verge of a big day. Like, he's a guy that I would say feels like he's due or overdue.
I'd agree he's due.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Do the Patriots have anybody you're like, oh, that guy's due. He's overdue. There's a big day guy. You can't feel that about anybody because none of them have that kind of track record, history, reputation. So
Ramondre Stevenson is due not to fumble. He's due to hold on to the ball for an entire game. He hasn't done that yet.
That is fair. That is something they are due for. Mm-hmm. But just that marquee number one. Everybody used to make fun of that. Like, that was a big thing. Old school football hardos. Like, right. Why don't you get two wide receivers, Miami? Nice job. Probably a bad example, Andy. They've scored 33 points through two games. But, that is modern football is having a quarterback and a number one wide receiver. And as luck would not have it, the Patriots don't have a quarterback. Well, they might have a quarterback. We haven't seen him yet. And they certainly do not have that kind of a number one wide receiver like the CeeDee Lamb. And I was wrong on Lamb. A couple of years ago, I kind of thought he was overrated. I wasn't sure what he was. I watched, you know, he would have some drops and he would have some attitude things. And he still kind of has the attitude things because I think that's what you get when you get those superstar wide receivers.
Yeah, but usually.
He's freaking good. And Malik Nabers looks like he's freaking good. Like, he freaked that Booth kid out. He fell down. He's stumbling all over himself, bumbling himself.
And he's doing it with a bad quarterback, too.
Right. Like, so that's got to be on the to-do list. You got to get one of them. And I don't know. I know people have soured on T. Higgins. Watching that game the other night, people were like, I used to be in on the T. Higgins plan. I'm not sure I'm in on the T. Higgins plan. Okay, we'll find a new plan. I don't care if it's T. Higgins. You got to find one of those guys. Because Jalen Polk, remember that tweet that PFF put out or somebody put out? It was like the Patriots have their number one and number two wide receivers for years to come in Polk and Baker. Get the hell out of here right now.
I know. That's unfortunate. And really, there's been such a wide receiver renaissance. I mean, really, it's been wild. The last four or five drafts have produced so many productive receivers. And maybe that speaks to the way the NFL's going now. Like, it could be just as simple as that. But going back to, like, the N'Keal Harry draft, which is the one I always sort of look at as the port in the storm here, that had Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, etc. Terry McLaurin was that year. You had legitimate blue chippers there. In 2020, you had CeeDee Lamb, you had Justin Jefferson, you had T. Higgins, you had Michael Pittman. 2021 had Chase Waddle, Smith. I mean, it was just all these really every year. Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. The 2023 class with Smith and Jigba and Flowers and Addison and Rashee Rice and Tank Dell. Like, every year, it seems like all these great wide receivers get drafted. They're productive right away, and the Patriots can't ever sniff any of them. Like, no matter what round they're drafted in, no matter where it happens, the Patriots will take a stab at it every couple years with N'Keal Harry or with Tyquan Thornton, and then again now with Polk and, you know, some of these other guys, and we'll see what Polk turns into. But with all these very good receivers getting drafted every year, it really does seem like the Patriots are cursed, doesn't it?
And it seems like you have to draft one. That's my next concern.
Yeah.
Is that there was that couple-year window where they were all being traded, Diggs and A.J. Brown and Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
And now it's like everybody's decided, That's kind of dumb to give up on those guys. Why don't we just sign them and give them $35 million? And now some teams are even doing the double dip. Like, Philly re-signed A.J. Brown, re-signed Devontae Smith. You look down in Miami where you might have said, well, you can't have Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. Well, why can't you? That was their response. And all these teams, and it looks like the Bengals, everybody assumes, can't keep Chase and Higgins. But if they go down the path, everybody else is going down. The 49ers with Debo and Ayuk. It may be harder to, because I was under the belief you were going to have to draft the quarterback, you were going to have to draft the tackle, and you could find the wide receiver somewhere. I'm less confident now that you can just find that true number one wide receiver. You can find a receiver, like your boy, Calvin Ridley. Like, mm-hmm. I think there will be guys available at times, but I don't know if you're going to get a real number one wide receiver on the open market anymore. And that's concerning, because that means now you have to hit on the left tackle in the draft, and you have to hit on a wide receiver in the draft.
Yeah, and I think that in terms of that, like, if you want a left tackle that's serviceable, right, the guy who can play, a guy who can start for you, who may not ever be a Pro Bowler or an elite tackle in the league, but someone who can go out there and do it, you know, like, you don't really have that right now. And I think that there's, you know, something to that. Like, can he play? Can he get better? Is he going to start off and be a stud right away? You know, like the Joe Alt guys who get picked in the lottery. I don't necessarily need that, but at wide receiver, I think it's starting to skew more in that direction. It just seems like that's the natural progression of it right now. They're about as hot as quarterbacks are, right?
I see what you're doing here.
What am I doing?
You're already starting with the Patriots need to take Travis Hunter in the top five picks of the draft next year.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I'd take
an angle.
In the top five, I would take it doesn't have to be Hunter. If someone else emerges who's better than him, I'd go with that. But I would go wide receiver in the top five and then try and find the tackle later on. Absolutely, I'd prioritize it that way, 100%.
Yeah, see, I might have to rethink my plan. The famous Andy Hart plan that was written about, talked about, that was all over social media.
Everywhere.
I might have to rethink, because Travis Hunter would be definitely in my conversation. He has grown on. It's funny, Shador, I've lost all interest, which I never had any.
Right.
Dion, I hate, but Travis Hunter, the more I watch Colorado and the more I see Travis Hunter play, the more I think Travis Hunter is the best football player, certainly at the college level on the planet, and one of the best overall football players. Like, when you say you have a guy that can catch a ball and run like Tyreek Hill, explosive, just absolutely explosive, and then he's making goal line stands where he's putting his helmet on the football, lighting guys up. I mean, how many guys are there on the planet that, like, and these comparisons to Charles Woodson, I mean, no disrespect to a Hall of Famer in Charles Woodson, he didn't play every play both ways.
No, like, no, he didn't. He didn't play the whole game, that's for sure.
Right.
Hunter plays the whole game.
Travis Hunter and Shohei Ohtani are the unicorns on the planet right now. They really are. Like, if you were going to do a sports unicorn list, Travis Hunter and Shohei Ohtani are on that short list.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. By the way, tomorrow 3:30, the Central Florida Knights have a black and gold stampede heading their way. And yeah, you watch out. Travis Hunter, Shador, the whole team's coming for you there. Central Florida, 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We'll take a quick break. We'll continue on a Patriots Friday with the three biggest reasons for concern and the three biggest reasons to have hope on Sunday. We'll do that next.